This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
And we're back at 8:11. Now time for our Spotlight segment on Long Island. And we put Kevin McAllister in the spotlight today. Of course, defend H2O, founding president, and from sources see defending the right to clean water and a sustainable coastline. Kevin McAllister's the Defend H2O, always on the lookout. Kevin, always good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning and happy summer.
Indeed. And with that comes the spring, Kevin McAllister. As we all know, we report on it, the mosquitoes, the West Nile, the Zika, we know about the viruses and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is there are some elements of these pesticides that one has to be aware of.
Absolutely. The county broadcast sprays a product called methoprene. It's a larvicide that they spray over 20,000-plus acres of tidal wetlands roughly every 2 weeks. It gets into the water, and then it disrupts the larval stage mosquito from developing into flying mosquitoes. The downside is it has implications to non-target insects as well as other crustaceans. There's a number of studies that certainly have demonstrated, you know, the impact of this product. Connecticut in 2013 banned it in its entire state in the coastal areas because of concerns to aquatic life.
And, you know, with that being said, and this is a very controversial substance, still remains this methoprene. Listen, it's been accused of, we know, causing some lobster die-offs and frog deformities. The thing that I don't understand is groups have attempted to get court orders to stop the widespread spraying of the marshes using this. The big question with that in mind, why does the island continue to do so?
It's unfortunate that, you know, the county's program is primarily driven for nuisance control. And I guess they have determined that, you know, the quality of life, the comfort level for our backyard barbecues, you know, is more important than the impacts to the marshes. You know, we're talking to the breadbaskets of the estuary. And it is unfortunate, particularly when other jurisdictions, New York City had banned this around Jamaica Bay, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Oregon, Maine looked at a statewide ban, and yet Suffolk County just continues to deploy the poison into the marshes.
Just curious why the EPA really hasn't taken a firmer stand. I know, and I did some research on this going back to 1996. They concluded this particular chemical, as a mosquito control, didn't spread enough of it to harm other species, yet there have been studies that it does. We mentioned the lobster die-off and everything else. Just curious why the EPA really hasn't taken a firmer stance here.
I think that the regulations lag the science often, and often the science is driven by industry. So there's enough studies that have been trumped up from, you know, various chemical manufacturers as well as the users of this product to say it's okay. It is unfortunate, and at the end of the day, there, you know, there's probably a political consideration here with respect to, you know, what our elected officials in this region are responding to. And again, I think it's unfortunate when the two primary triggers for spraying events are calls from the public and then calls from elected officials, as opposed to, you know, again, incidents of disease. You know, that's a real problem.
And of course, you know, we know about the initiatives, the governor, County Executive Steve Ballone, legislators. We've talked about clean water initiatives all throughout. You know, you have to wonder about the overall plan here, Kevin McAllister, because obviously we are trying to fight off these mosquitoes. We know about the West Nile. Zika has come up in the recent year and a half or so. Then the big question is maybe finding the right elements to combat these insects and kind of hold off these diseases while, in essence, trying to maintain the cleanliness of our waterways here.
Well, a couple of points. The disease does not exist in the larval stage mosquito. It's not until they're flying and it's bloodborne transfer. So the, you know, knocking out mosquito larvae is not suppressing disease. That's a misnomer. You know, Secondarily, the county has another product called BTI. It's a bacterial agent that is, for the most part, benign in the environment. It does suppress mosquito larvae. It does kill them in that stage. So, you know, again, their hands are not tied. And lastly, you know, with respect to all of the insults on water quality and, you know, the productivity of our bays, and we've seen the decline over the last decade, you know, you can't turn a blind eye to poisoning 20,000 plus acres of marshes, you know, on a chronic, you know, level, and then be suggesting that you're combating, you know, nitrogen pollution from septic systems. Everything has to be on the table here. And again, it's a contradiction that needs to be reconciled.
Yeah, there's no question. And it's a big contradiction because this simethoprene, it's sold commercially, by the way, as Altacid. You know, they claim that it's one of the top two choices to purchase for adding to water. So there is some, you know, some controversy regarding that. And the other, you mentioned this BTI, it's a naturally found what they call bacillus that targets these mosquitoes. So they really have to define it better, because they are contradicting themselves here.
Absolutely. And again, I'll draw on what Connecticut has done in the other jurisdictions. You know, they did due diligence to evaluate this product and weigh the impact, again, in the aquatic environment. And they arrived at a decision that we're going to ban this statewide, again, to Connecticut. There's U.S. Senator Chris Murphy in 2015 wrote Governor Cuomo asking New York to take a statewide ban, and he has not responded to that letter as of, you know, recent. On a local level, you have Senator LaValle and Assemblyman Thiel that have a bill in the Assembly in New York legislature to ban it, and it just seems to languish and you know, has to get introduced the following year. There's just been no push, and it's all about politics. And I'll say, you know, and I haven't gotten peeled back the onion here, but follow the money. And that's unfortunate that we will sacrifice estuarine health because of, again, either public comfort level or, you know, other more nefarious concerns here.
Isn't it always the case, the money trail?
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess so. And again, it's, you know, I don't want to speak, you know, overspeak here because, you know, I don't know, but it's unfortunate. It is a $3 million annual budget between their, you know, wetlands activities and then the, you know, the chemical applications in the warm weather months. You know, they're buying product. They're paying companies to deploy this product. You know, there's a robust staff around this. You know, and quite frankly, I don't object to responding to legitimate disease. When West Nile appears, you know, there's an appropriate response, including pesticides. But again, for nuisance control, it's just inexcusable.
We will follow this. Kevin McAllister, Defend H2O. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.